Recorded Books presents Lost in the Long March by Michael X. Wong. Narrated by Fyodor Chin. To my family, always. Red Guard's Battle Song. We are Chairman Mao's Red Guards. We steel our red hearts in great winds and waves. We arm ourselves with Mao Zedong thought, to sweep away all pests. We are Chairman Mao's Red Guards, utterly firm in our proletarian stand, marching on the revolutionary road of our forebears. We shoulder the weighty task of our age. We are Chairman Mao's Red Guards, vanguards of the Cultural Revolution. We unite with the masses and plunge into battle to wipe out all monsters and demons. Dare to criticize and repudiate, dare to struggle, never stop creating revolutionary rebellion. We will smash the old world and keep our revolutionary state red for 10,000 generations. Part 1. Courtship. 1. 1934. When news of the most recent Kuomintang invasion arrived, Ping and the other platoon members were more interested in its carrier, a new comrade that would join their unit, a girl this time, named Yong. She had transferred to Ironwell Mountain from Ruijin, the administrative capital, by her own request, and because she had fought in the short-handed Eastern Divisions during the Second and Third Encirclement campaigns, the Politburo had decided to place her with a combat unit instead of the medical or propaganda detachments. She wanted to be here at Iron Well and defend the birthplace of the revolution. She was honored, she told the platoon, to fight with those who'd been with General Mao the longest. At first, Ping couldn't tell if her words were merely meant to sound charming. Nearly all the soldiers had been bandits or prisoners, and they cared about the communist ideals about as much as they did their body odor. Ping was a gunsmith. Back in Canton, he'd also been a gangster, someone who traded a week's work for a night with a perfumed courtesan. He'd shove his way into the brightest building on the street, throw a rifle to the cashier as payment, and ask the lady of the house, "Take me to your finest." Yong had a crooked nose, a gift from the landlord her parents had sold her to when she was 8. Her hips were narrow, her chest was flat, and her arms were as skinny as bamboo shoots. When Ping handed her one of the extra flintlocks he'd made, his elbow grazing her sharp shoulder as she turned away, the thought of lying with her, like lying with a quiver of arrows, made him shiver. Yet there she was in the cave, snoring with the other members of their platoon. There she was carrying a bag of rice peels, the sack so heavy she looked like an ant lugging a pebble. There she was, drenched in rain, setting up a machine gun emplacement. There she was squatting on the edge of a bluff, her feces splattering onto the mountainside like spilled ink. And there she was again, behind a tree. Perhaps this was when his desires emerged, waiting for the whistle so she could turn around and blow the nationalists to smithereens. He didn't think his attraction resulted only from proximity. Otherwise, he figured, he'd be enamored with the peasant girls at the marketplace or the older ladies who served him rations at the Great Hall of the Proletariat. No, Yong was attractive for a more elusive reason. He found out that she truly believed in the words of the leaders, something that he, at times, wished he could believe in himself. Back from combat, she attended every party meeting, roundtable discussion, and lecture on Pear Tree Hill. She shushed those around her when the familiar mumbo-jumbo came on over the loudspeakers, urging them to memorize the words of Engels and Marx. She'd stare, doe-eyed and drooling, at the educated men babbling under the hammer and sickle banner. Winning her affection, Ping began to realize, was like winning China. Her very being resonated with the goal to build a new nation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?